You know, thankfully, the wait is over, right? And because waiting isn't easy. Andy's reminded us of that over the last 4 weeks, that the waiting is the hardest part. And if anybody celebrated Christmas this past week with children, watching them sit there, look at the present that has their name on it, while somebody else opens a present, waiting is not easy, right? Waiting is the hardest part. And while Advent is that season of waiting, that season where we wait in anticipation and we try to remember what it was to wait for the Messiah for some 200 plus, 400 plus, hundreds and hundreds of years for the Jewish people. When we try to remember that, we also, ourselves, we're waiting, right? We're waiting for our King to come back. We're eagerly awaiting for the kingdom to come in its fullness, for Christ to come back again. And so this morning we're gonna read a passage from the book of Luke, and we're gonna read about two people who had been waiting. And when they see Jesus, we're gonna read about their response and just kind of reflect on that. So if you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, we're gonna read through verses 22 through 38. Now I'm reading from the ESV, so I don't know if that's going to match everybody's phones, but let's read. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, this is your word. This is your word meant to encourage and convict, to challenge and to comfort. Father, may it do all that and more. God, I pray that even more so that your glory would be revealed, that you would be praised. God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So we've got these two people, right? One, a devout, righteous man. There's no word of him being a priest. He was just a dude in the kingdom, in Jerusalem, in the city, who he was devout. He was righteous. He was devoted to God. The other, a prophetess, widowed for something over 50 years. There are a couple different translations that she was either widowed up until she was 84, or that she'd been widowed for 84 years. So she was either old or she was really old, right? I mean, honestly. So we have these two people. And she comes and she spends her time fasting and praying. Each of them this day doing what they'd always done. I bet as they were walking to the temple that day, the signs of the fact that all is not right with the world were all around them. walking to the temple, they saw the Roman guards, the Roman centurions, pacing the streets, strapped with their swords. Seeing one even give a little head nod to the tax collector over in the corner. Those thieving tax collectors who turn their backs on their people for comfort and a buck. And so they entered the temple, which, as we find out later, wasn't exactly set up the way that God had intended, because Jesus is going to flip that sucker upside down, right? And so they enter knowing that things are not the way God had intended them. They're not the way it was supposed to be. But as they entered, they said, you know, this day is probably not going to be any different than any other day. You know, on Christmas Eve, Mandy and I decided that we're going to open up the presents that my parents had sent because we didn't want to take them to Salem, so we're just going to go ahead and do that. And so Christmas Eve morning, my son Dominic wakes up and does what he always does. He just kind of lumbers in the living room. You see, Dom, when he wakes up, he kind of wakes up slow. It's not like Eli. Eli is like that wind-up toy. You know, it gets wound up, and it gets to that point where it's like that pressure. You know how you feel it? You know when you release? It's going to do that. It's like Eli has been wound tight all night long. Right? And the second he wakes up, Mandy and I are still in bed, and we hear, we're Eli, hoping and praying. He doesn't wake up the rest of the house. We get him, lay down on the floor. He lays down on the floor. We're like, we're still sleeping. Just be quiet. And it's silent, and you hear, Eli, shh. Okay, I'm sorry. It's just hard. Eli. Right, Eli wakes up, and oh, it's time to take on the day. Dom, he's more like that hibernating bear. Right, don't poke him. Don't wake him up before he wants to get woken up, but give him time. When he wakes up, well, he's going to do some bear things, right? And so he wanders in, just kind of lumbers into the living room, and we say, good morning, Dom. Good morning. And his eyes make contact with the tree. And he sees everything underneath it, and our hibernating bear becomes a bouncing kangaroo mixed with a howler monkey. Woo! It's here! All of that waiting, all of that anticipation of opening up the advent calendar, of ripping off the paper chain countdown that Mandy had made, it had all paid off because it was here. Let the wild rumpus start. Simeon, coming in the spirit, did what he had always done. He had come to the temple, and then his eyes locked on the baby Jesus and his parents. And he knew instantly things were not going to be the same any longer. Things were going to be different. It was no longer business as usual. It couldn't be. He had come, the one he had been waiting for, the one he had promised that he was going to get to see. He was here. He knew what, while he may not have known just how different things would be, he knew more than most. You know, he knew that he was going to be a light, a revelation to the Gentiles as well. Simeon knew that the promised child had come, the one he had waited so long for. And this woman too, she did what she had always done. She had gone to the temple. She's going to fast and to pray and to worship. And she walks in, she sees Simeon holding this baby, singing his song. And so she begins to speak. She begins to speak of him to everyone who had been waiting. Everybody who had been waiting. He is here. He has come. Emmanuel is among us. It's not just a line we recite from Isaiah anymore. It is here. He is here. Emmanuel is. Amen. I get excited about that. Right? This is what we celebrate. This is what we rejoice over. That God entered our mess and said, I am with you. But what do you do? What do you do when it's not quite what you expected? You know, Luke's gospel and his continued telling in the book of Acts, as he tells that story, as he goes through all of that, Luke loves to paint a picture of a kingdom that's a little different than what everybody expected, right? A kingdom that isn't built on power and the powerful, but a kingdom built on sacrifice and surrender and often the powerless. I mean, come on, Jesus was born in a manger, right? Things are going to be a little different. Luke goes on and on. In Luke 4, Jesus quotes Isaiah, proclaiming liberty to the captives, good news for the poor. And then he tells the people in the synagogue, oh, by the way, it's not just for you, it's for those people we don't like either. And they try and throw him off a cliff. In Luke 7, we read of that sinful woman giving the extravagant gesture of washing Jesus' feet. Luke 13, Luke tells the story of Jesus saying that, hey, you want to know what love is? Let's look at this Samaritan. Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit comes on Cornelius, yes, the occupier. Yes. Right? It's different. It's not quite what you expected. And even here in this passage, Luke does it again. And if I'm honest, when I first started to read this passage and work through it, I tried to avoid this part. I didn't really want to read that. Didn't want to talk about it. But Simeon doesn't just sing of these delight to the nations, right? No, he goes on to bless Jesus' parents, and he locks eyes with Mary, and he says more. Frederick Buchner writes it this way. He says that Simeon says, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The baby playing with the fringes of his beard. The parents were pleased as punch. And so he blessed them too for good measure. Then something about the mother stopped him. And his expression changed. What he saw in her face was a long way off, but it was there so plainly he couldn't pretend. A sword will pierce through your own soul as well. He would rather have bitten off his tongue than said it. But in that holy place, he felt he had no choice, and then he handed her back the baby and departed in something less than the perfect peace he dreamed of all the long years of his waiting. Frederick Buchner, thank you a lot, you Debbie Downer. Simeon looks at Jesus' parents and tells them what we now know. That this Messiah of ours, this child of theirs, is not going to be as received as well as we had all hoped and thought, right? The ascent to the throne wasn't really going to be smooth. Quite frankly, your son and his kingdom are going to upset a few people. Those who enjoy their privilege aren't going to like the way that he talks about it. There are going to be those who don't like the agenda he brings or the stories that he tells. And a sword will pierce through your own soul. Don't think for one second that when Mary heard those words from Simeon, part of her looked at the man sideways. So what happens when the time comes and what you were expecting isn't quite what you get? I'm not talking about what you found under the Christmas tree, although I'm sure there is at least one of us who saw in the face of a child as they opened a present going, I'm not sure if this is what I wanted, right? But let's dig a little deeper. What happens when the marriage that you have dreamed of is not the marriage you find yourself in? What about that time you're called into your boss's office and you're expecting that attaboy or job well done, and you find yourself back at your desk packing it up for the last time? What about your dreams of being the perfect Pinterest parent playing with your little ones, and it turns into yelling, shouting, and little Legos left all around the floor? What happens when the Jesus you have read about and heard about gets displayed by his church in a way that leaves you left in a heap of rubble? What happens when the chaos that is supposed to be a world away shows up on our streets, and it's our neighbors and our friends who are being hurt and killed? You see, while we read and know that the Messiah, Yeshua, has come and redemption has come and the kingdom has come, we find ourselves still waiting. Waiting for it to come in its fullness. Waiting for the already not yet kingdom to just be the already kingdom already. Waiting for God to kind of finish making all things new. Because listen, this isn't quite what we expected. I mean, oneness with God, that's supposed to be easy, right? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus, you said that. And we could proof text scripture, you know, like Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you hope and a future. And stop there. Choosing to completely ignore the next few verses that tell us, but hey, it's going to be a while. So be the kind of people that I've called you to be. Be who I've called you to be right where you're at. Get married, have kids, work, do life. Be my people. Call on me. Seek me, and I will answer you, and I will be found by you. Listen, any one of us can look around at our lives at one time or another and recognize this is not quite what we expected. Not the dream that we had when we were children. We're still waiting. But we are not waiting alone. Because in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the questions, in the midst of sitting on our knees, head to the sky, arms held out, we hear that still small voice whisper, don't be afraid. I am with you. Emmanuel is with us. Keep going. I'm still with you. I am here and I'm still coming. You see, the God that we had waited for, the King we continue to wait for, is a God whose faithfulness always rings true. I imagine Simeon not gently taking this baby, but running up, grabbing the baby Jesus, spinning around and singing at the top of his lungs, because what he had been waiting for, the promise that God had made to him, had been fulfilled. So we are not waiting aimlessly. We're not going about business as usual, wondering, what's it going to be like? We're not thinking about the kingdom and then sitting here and saying, well, this just stinks. Because we are not left alone, and we are not left without purpose, without design. No, we are waiting while at the same time living as citizens of the kingdom with a King who is with us, a King whose Holy Spirit has refused to leave us alone, who continually beckons us, who continually brings us to the temple, continually brings us to a place where we, with open eyes, open ears, and an open heart, can see signs of our King and his kingdom all around us. So we wait expectantly. We wait doing those very things he has called us to do, being those people he has called us to be. We create space for those who live outside to be warm. We stand with those who find themselves squarely under the thumb of oppression, and we remind them, you're not alone. And we speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption, not just of Jerusalem, but along with all of creation, groaning, waiting for the redemption of all things. We speak of a redemption that is for the hooker, the thug, the addict, and the outcast, a redemption that is for you and a redemption that is for me. Like Anna, we worship. We give thanks to God and we speak of him to all who are waiting for that redemption, that God is with you. God is for you. God loves you. He is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us in the good spaces and in the hard places. No matter how things look, No matter how messed up life seems to be at times, God is with you. Because through that little baby that Simeon held, redemption has come. Redemption is coming. God is making all things new. And while we may not know exactly what it's going to look like, we know that the God who was with us is the God who gave himself up for us. He entered into our mess that he might redeem it through his life, death, and resurrection. We know that this table is more than just a meal. It's a declaration that the kingdom has come, that the king has come a little differently than expected, and that he is with us, and that he is coming back. And as Andy's going to tell us, all are welcome to meet him at this table. So therefore, we eagerly, expectantly are waiting with open eyes and open hearts to see his salvation again. And we look forward to rejoicing just like Samuel and Anna did so long ago. Let's pray.